Our subject this afternoon is entitled, According to the Pattern. It will have to do with the way God has instructed you and I to do the things that He's commanded. Of course, we took our title from what God spoke to Moses concerning the construction of the tabernacle in the wilderness. Moses went into the mountain with God, or to God, and he there in that mountain gave him a blueprint of the tabernacle. And he was a very emphatic to Moses. You build it according to the pattern that I showed you in that mountain. That was repeated in the Hebrew letter when the writer got down to the types and shadows that existed in that tabernacle. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the true person of the Lord. So we want to think along the lines of you and I staying with God's pattern today. Our reading lesson will be taken from 2 Timothy, beginning the 14th verse of the 3rd chapter, reading through the 8th verse of the 4th chapter of 2 Timothy. If you care to see, you'll find a pattern here in the words of the Apostle Paul to the younger preacher. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known that the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures give me inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all men, all them that love his appearing. This reading is one of the Apostle Paul's final recorded messages to Timothy. Of course, it's obvious that he's on the verge of departing this life. And you'll note that he passed on some things to Timothy that were a burden to Paul's heart at that time. And in those things that we read there, you can find some patterns of things that have continued down to this present moment. Had they not continued, we wouldn't have the opportunity to be here in this capacity this afternoon. But enough people have stayed close enough to God's pattern that we have opportunity to fellowship together in the body of Christ and claim the same relationship to the Lord as our forefathers, the apostles, and other people have down through Baptist history. We want to talk very briefly by way of introduction concerning patterns in life. We all go by patterns, whether we recognize it or not. We are compelled to follow patterns in many avenues of life. The clothes we wear look like they do because they were laid out and cut by a pattern, and they were then assembled together into the garments that we now wear. Be utter chaos today if we would not conform and follow to traffic patterns, whether it be in the air, on the ground, or on the sea. There's patterns to go by. People that have any knowledge at all realize that they must conform to those patterns if they are going to get where they started or stay alive upon this earth. It'd be utter folly to try to go from here to the West Coast on the wrong side of the interstate. So we follow the pattern of other people and those things of that nature. And God has also set out patterns. And it behooves the human family this day to follow God's pattern. There's a pattern in the plan of salvation. I fear a lot of it's been eliminated today. But the pattern is there, and unless it is adhered to, unless we go by the pattern, then I fear there may be some type of salvation in some people's mind that's not deep enough to affect the heart. Our aim of this lesson is to put emphasis on the Bible how to do the things that God has commanded us to do. Now, the key to that aim is the Bible how. How does the Bible teach us to do it? How does the Bible say do it? What is the necessity of a pattern? Why would it be necessary for an all-wise, everlasting God to lay out a pattern for the human family? He has all power in heaven and in earth. He has an all-seeing eye. He deals in the hearts and minds of people. Why would it be necessary for God to lay out a written pattern for people to go by? First of all, God is from everlasting to everlasting. God does not change. God's way and his work is perfect. And that will put us in a favorable position to think about a God of this nature loving us enough and having enough compassion upon this world to present certain type patterns through the history of man that it might be some benefit to man, might be glorifying unto the Lord. God is from everlasting to everlasting, but due to the advent of sin, man is a temporary being. Methuselah lived a long time. Adam lived a long time. Noah lived a long time. And a lot of people lived a long life in this world, but they've all died that have passed into eternity. About the time that a generation of people acquire enough knowledge, seek enough wisdom from God to learn how to live, they lay down in death, and the vast majority leave no record of what they learned. It's grievous to think about an aged church person, at least, that has labored all their life and has one experience after another, and lay down on their deathbed, and all of that just about go with it, except what we're able to glean from memory. And because of that, we find a necessity for a pattern. God loved Adam, and God loved the baby that was born today in a hospital, but there's a long distance from this baby to Adam back yonder. But God's ability to leave patterns for us to follow allows the same opportunity from Adam to that newborn babe to learn the ways of God. And that's one of the most important things as far as thinking about the necessity of a pattern is concerned. Is that we might stay in touch with our past generations. We might stay abreast of God's present day wanting us to do it his way. You see, if God makes no mistakes, and if God's way and his will is perfect, then you can't improve on that. And it'll behoove you and I to stay with that pattern, because if you can't improve on something, don't waste your life trying to do better. You just can't do better than God's way, regardless of what it is. So he does extend himself. And if he had not extended himself through his written word, accompanied by the inspiration of his spirit, this world today would be in utter chaos. We think it is anyway when we look at the so-called religious world. It's just utter chaos. But those things ought not to bother us too bad, because they've always been there, and we just have failed to realize that they'll come to a dead end somewhere along the road. The way these things that are happening today in so-called religious fields and on the mediums of our world, the effect it's going to have on you and I is that they rate you and I with those fellers. And that's we're going to have to get down to a point to where we're going to have to accept some persecution. And if you are not ready to accept persecution, then you don't even know anything about that particular pattern. The pattern given in the Bible is, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And we're not hurting today here in this assembly. The world is not attacking you and I, so we know where we stand with God when we look at that, because the world hasn't changed its opinion about us. They're just as mad at God today as they were when they first found out He was God. If we're not being persecuted by them, it's because we're not living as God in Christ Jesus as we ought to, and they don't know we exist. So the patterns are essential. They're necessary, and we need to stay within those things as we continue down through life. Let's look at something concerning patterns for just a moment. One of the great examples in the Bible of a pattern being followed is that boat that Noah built. Where did Noah go to school to build a boat? Where did he get his education to construct a boat? Even the apprentice, if you follow God's pattern, can get a job done. So Noah's boat floated. It did not only float, Noah's boat landed. When God looked upon the scene in those days, and he saw what man was involved in, it grieved him that he'd ever made us. But Noah found grace in his sight, and God blessed Noah by calling upon him to build a conveyance that would deliver he and his house from the destruction of the flood that he said he was going to bring upon the world. Now, that was left up to Noah now. Shall I build it as God said, build it, or shall I lean to my own understanding? I don't know if Noah had any experience about boat building or not. I don't find anything in the Scripture that indicate that he knew anything about it. And when you don't know much about something and someone gives you a way to do something, you just necessarily lean on what they instruct you to do, because that's the best you've got to go with. So Noah, for whatever reason it was, he stayed with God's pattern. And I'm glad that he built it out of gopher wood. I don't know what would happen if he'd built it out of cotton wood or some soft pour or something. That pitch would have soaked up and then sunk, or the water would have come through. But God said, you build it out of gopher wood. So Noah went to the source, and he got the material that God said build and put in it, and he built it out of gopher wood. Noah even went as far as to build it according to the dimensions that God gave him. He even built it with a door and a window in it. Those things were necessary. He put the nest in there for all of the creation of the world, and he built it just like God said build it. Some people today have said he already did it because he didn't know any better. You can't know better than God. You can't know better than God. There's a lot of people today seem to think that they know better than God, but you can't know things better than God knows them. So Noah went by the pattern. And when we think about what he did and the results that it brought, it gives us courage and increases our faith to continue with God's pattern. The boat is a good example. God is a master architect. He draws a blueprint. You can depend on it working when you put it together. And that ought to be encouraging to you and I this day, that we recognize him as the master architect, and he knows the beginning from the end, all in between also, he knows what's good for man. He has a desire that man be something that can glorify him, and he wants to help man to do that, and his love for man is beyond our understanding. And that's another pattern. The love that God has for you and I ought to be some part of our life, that we might be able to love in our own capacity those that come in and out of our life. We need to remember that God first loved us. No man is true to the faith when he departs from the pattern. You believe that? But I didn't know the pattern. If a person didn't know the pattern, whose fault is that? Is it God's fault? No, it'll be the pulpit's fault. If people don't know God's pattern or His ways and are honest in not knowing it, then we have to look at some responsible source somewhere that has a responsibility in the world to be an ambassador for the Lord, to tell people about the Lord. So the person that departs from the faith will also depart from the pattern that's found in God. Paul, in writing to Timothy, made a statement concerning a pattern. It may not be recognized as it's worded in the King James Version, but the truth of this statement simply is this. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he made a statement concerning rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. On the surface of that statement, it might appear that you can take the truth and just cut it up in little sections and cross sections and divide it up in little segments and things of that nature, and that's what preaching is. Well, I'm sorry to say too many people take the truth out of context and build some fairy tales off of it, and in a time have brought other denominational works into the world and having a whole different doctrine than God's doctrine because they may take and chop up the truth. But when you really think about what rightly dividing the word of truth is, it simply means that you cut the tent material according to the pattern. That's what he's saying. Paul was a tent maker, and he could relate to those things. And he knew if he had a pattern laid out here for a two-man tent, and he wanted to build a four-man tent, that he couldn't go by that pattern. He'd have to go by a larger pattern. And he told Timothy, as far as preaching the word was concerned, he said concerning that, rightly divide the word of truth. In other words, you go by the pattern, and you can get the job done. Our preaching manifests our ministry. Sooner or later, it will manifest our ministry, what we preach and how we preach it. So when we think about Noah's boat floating, and it got to its destination because Noah was obedient, it got to its destination because Noah knew that if he didn't build something that'd float, that he's going to drown with the rest of the world. And it got this destination through the steering mechanism of God's providence. And it landed, and God preserved the human family simply because of His love for them. And the things that Noah did were in obedience to God, and he went according to his pattern. Let's think about the church for a moment according to the pattern. If God was concerned with the tabernacle giving a proper shadow of what was for it to come, He had to be concerned about Noah, Moses, building that thing according to His specifications. If I want to cast a shadow of something out here in this sunlight, and I want somebody to see the image of that shadow, whatever I cast to make the shadow out of, it's got to have some shape to it. And in that tabernacle was some things that were to let people know and see and hope and projection of the church and the Lord Jesus Christ that was coming into the world. The tabernacle was important as the patterns of God up to the time of the church being established are important. They are important because to increase people's faith in those days and give them hope in what was going to happen. You see, God couldn't have set the church up in the tabernacle because Jesus was not born of the Virgin Mary until the fullness of time. And all those ages coming up to that time, God blessed them by types and shadows, and they knew what was coming. Abraham seen his day. And Abraham was blessed in the fact that he could see the day of the Lord and those things. So the church by Christ Jesus was shown in the old scriptures many places with various types and shadows. So God was concerned that Moses build that tabernacle that it might reflect the proper image as the world stood waiting for the very body of Christ to be established upon this earth. If we would reflect anything today that didn't show what we were trying to preach, we're going to mislead somebody. If we don't go by the proper pattern, we're going to mislead somebody along the road. That tabernacle and its furniture was so designed and so built that it would make the trip from the wilderness all the way to Canaan. And it did that. They folded that thing up and they moved from one location to another. They brought it across the Jordan River from east to west, and they set it up in Shiloh, and it stayed there until Israel got so weak that they let the Philistines steal it. But it was there, and they could see and understand some things concerning what was going to happen. So God instructed Moses, as you go by the pattern. Well, if God so instructed Moses to go by the pattern and build the tabernacle, isn't it obvious that he'd be more concerned with the very image of the thing? Would not he expect the church to reflect what he wished for it to expect and to be just to the jot and tittle of that he wanted? So the church, by Christ Jesus, has a lot of patterns surrounding its work. A lot of things that we must go by in order to conform to the will of God. And we need to know where those patterns are and what they are. Our reading lesson told us where they are. That thou from a child hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So let's think about the church for just a moment here. The church was designed to travel through time to eternity. Her structure, her makeup, her build had to be so that it would endure the hardships of life. Just as Noah's boat floated across the storms of the flood, the church by Christ Jesus has plowed the seas of this life, one storm after another, rising, ebbing, and flowing through the world, and she has rode out every one of them. She hadn't run aground yet. Poor old John Smith thought he dug up something. He did dig up something, but he didn't dig up the truth. The church was designed to go into all the world and all ages and preach Christ crucified to a lost and dying world. The design is worth our note today. Let's look at the pattern concerning the placing of material into the Lord's church for just a moment. What beautiful pattern do we see in the Old Testament concerning the qualified person today as far as coming before a Baptist church for membership? A lot of people today with their big buildings and their they cherish the thought of filling their church house up with sinners, getting them involved in the church work with some hope of someday that they might actually hear the gospel. Baptist church is not so constructed. The pattern that God gave is essential. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3 tells us about the future of a prophet or a man that would come into the world for the particular purpose of preparing a people for the Lord. We know him today and we cherish his memories, John the Baptist, and he came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and he preached, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He feared no man. That's a pattern, preachers. If you're afraid of somebody or some man or some organization or your church, are you not going by the pattern of God's preacher? If there's one person ought to be bold in this world today, it ought to be the preacher of the gospel to proclaim that with boldness. Paul was a bold preacher, and yet he knew that he needed God's help, and he asked people that he wrote to pray for me that I might open my mouth boldly. And we realize and recognize today that's a pattern. And we need to go by it if we aren't. And you can get bold if you find the faith that Brother Smith talked about. You can find some boldness because we should fear God more than man. Once we show a weakness about fearing man, your messages are limited. You become to a point to where I can't preach this, I can't preach that. We find ourselves being intimidated today. But as sin continues, a Baptist preacher needs to be more bold with the truth. John could have saved his head, I suppose. But the law said, thou shalt not have thy brother's wife. And he told that man that. And not only did he tell him that, that woman heard about that. And her desire was for John's head, and she got it. But that's still a pattern. If it requires my head or your head, we ought to be willing to lay her down. Our history will show us many of our forefathers laid it down. Polycarp stood by the stake untied. What glory to God! Who could stand in the flames of persecution and burn to death without being tied to something? But that was his request according to history. But the church by Christ Jesus now is made up of saved, baptized people. And if they have not been saved, if they have not been scripturally baptized, properly baptized in other words, they're not a member of that church, although they may occupy a place on its roll. 1 Kings 6 and 7 gives us a beautiful pattern of the prepared member. Solomon built the temple. David drew the blueprint, had all things ready. Those stones and those timbers were cut to fit off of the job site. Not a sound of a hammer was heard in putting that building together. That's a shadow, that's a type, that's a pattern. And the material that goes into the Baptist church today is pre-cut, pre-prepared by the Lord in salvation, and it's ready to fit into the framework of the Lord's church just exactly as God wants it to be fitted in there. In fact, He puts it in. Why would preachers spend half of their time begging membership if God puts them in there? How does God do that? What's the pattern with God placing members into the church? Why, it's simply a work of the Holy Spirit. And He does add to the church daily those that get saved. And He does temper people into the body by the Spirit. Jesus handpicked His church member while He walked here. But He gave His life for my sin and yours. He left the scene. He left individuals upon this earth to carry out His work. And they were to preach. They were to make disciples. They were to baptize disciples. And we'll note that the pattern for the construction of the Lord's church is made up of prepared material that have come over the threshold known as water baptism into the body of Christ. And God is all involved in it, or you got trouble down the road. So He still adds to the church daily those that get saved through this medium or this means. The saved soul passes from death unto life, and God then has an ability to deal with that heart on a basis that He hasn't before, and He pleads with that saved soul to come and follow me, so to speak, follow me into the waters of baptism. In other words, draws the saved soul to unite with the Lord's church, and that's the kind that gets the job done. That's the kind that's got it done for 2,000 years. Not those that have been begged by preachers or those that wanted to join because of some financial gain or some glory, but those that God impressed to unite with a particular body. So we'll note then, according to the pattern, God still puts pre-cut, prepared material into the house of the Lord, and it can glorify Him. And that same church is going to be waiting for Him when the trumpet sounds. He's no right to come down and start making an inventory and culling and searching here and there and say, is this my bride? Is that my group over there? Is that my group over there? They're going to be such a response one to another that I just wait that day. I just wait that day. There's going to be a lot of surprised people on that day. Lord, Lord, have not we been Baptists for all these years? Lord, Lord, have not we did this and did that? And he may tell them, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to put on your serving garments and wait on my bride at the Lamb's Supper.
the marriage supper. Come on, yeah, let's go to work. That's one of Brother Lambert's cliches. What's the pattern in the nature of the Lord's church then? She's made up of lively stones. Lively stones. Is there any place for a dead Baptist today in this world? Why, certainly, I suppose the millions of so-called Baptists today that seem to be dead on the wheels, there'd be a place for them. But God's church is made up of lively stones, prepared stones, and they are there to witness to something, and we need to follow that pattern, and we need to be lively. What's our purpose in the world? What's the church's purpose in the world today? We may have lost sight of that to a degree as a true Baptist today. What is our purpose in the world? In one sentence, it would be go and make disciples of all nations. In other words, go preach the gospel to every creature. Brother Smith told us all are not going to be saved, but we still have the responsibility to go preach. And that's her purpose in the world, to reach lost sinners. And there is a pattern to go by. And we've heard that one already today from Brother Smith as far as mission work goes. And in order for our church to remain alive and healthy in this world, she's going to have to get involved in missions. It might be across the field. It may be across the sea. But unless she has a vital mission program going on, she'll die and swivel up and go the way the rest of them have. That's her lifeblood, is preach the gospel to sinners and they get saved. That's her pattern, is to go, not to sit and wait and invite them to come to the church house, but to go into all of the world and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So her purpose is to reach the lost world. She has a purpose to administer the ordinances of the Lord. The ordinance of the Lord, there's patterns concerning water baptism. If water baptism does not show the burial and resurrection of our Lord, then it's not the right pattern. It's a burial. It's not a sprinkling. It's not a pouring. But it's a burial of a proper candidate by the proper authority. If those things are not there, the pattern is not being followed. If a person hadn't been saved, there's no proper baptism. If the authority is not there, there's no proper baptism. If the mode is not there, there's no proper baptism. Baptists have stood through the centuries. That's why they call us Baptists today, because we've been rebaptizers of all people from other denominations that they got saved and they want to come over and join the Baptists. That's why the world calls us that. So the pattern in baptism ought to be strictly adhered to. Well, you know, preacher, there's nobody going on like that. Yes, that thing can go on accidentally. I looked at some old film not long ago of some baptizings, and it looked like an octopus in the water. There was hands and legs out of the water and never did get all under at the same time. I don't call that baptism. You may. There's a person here that knows better than that. Went off and preached in a revival meeting, stayed gone for a while, come to find out that one of the candidates wasn't all under the water at the same time, come back and redone it, and I praise him today for taking that position on it. Who's responsible for that? First of all, the administrator is. Secondly, those people standing on that shore witnessing that. I called his hand and said, "Brother, I don't believe she or he was under the water at the same time." Oh, you know, preacher, that's trivialist. I know what's going on in the world today. A lot of things have become trivialist and they just don't matter anymore to us. We just don't go by the patterns anymore. What's wrong with doing it that way? Nothing. What's right with doing it that way? I don't know. The book here gives the pattern. And if you want to be a Baptist, you can start with the Gospel of Matthew and end up at the book of Revelation. You can find out how to be one if you've been born again. They're in there. The book of Acts is a perfect book of instruction as to how and what the church ought to do and when it ought to do it. We're without excuse because God blessed us by giving us this written word. He left us the Spirit to guide us, and we have opportunities today beyond a measure as to what we ought to be doing according to the pattern. So, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. We won't talk about that one much, but if it does not show the Lord's death till he comes, it's not being observed properly. The baptism is the first ordinance. The Lord's Supper is the second ordinance. It can be repeated as often as the church deems fit or necessary, but every time that it is observed, it shows the Lord's death that he comes, and there's no other way I've found in the New Testament to show that death. Well, preacher, we've got some paintings in our church house that shows them putting him in the tomb. That don't show his death, people. You'll show his death by humbling yourself before that table and eating and drinking of those ingredients that are taught in the scriptures. And we need to teach that to our people today, to follow that particular pattern and observe the ordinances as they were delivered to us. You see all the beauty and the wisdom in God and how he has designed things in this world that he left enough patterns for us to go by. He's found enough faithful people in the world that he can depend upon to do those things that he wants to do. Noah found grace in his sight and built that boat. Moses was instructed to build it according to what he was shown in the mountain. And the church throughout the ages has been entrusted by the Lord to continue those patterns. And we today need to take inventory and see how close to the pattern we really are. You stray before you know. And if you don't check them frequently, you'd be surprised as to how far you stray from the patterns of the Lord. The first service I can read about after the Lord was resurrected was on the night of the first day of the week. How many people here have a night service among us Baptists today? There's a few, but I'm afraid they're in the minority. I don't know why you can't get people to come on Sunday night. I've heard people say, I think it's modern, because they do it. But the pattern's in the book. And Jesus came to his church in Jerusalem at night. On the first day of the week, he came, and Thomas missed the service. That's a pattern that's being neglected today. God's church is supposed to assemble. They had already started at the time the Hebrew letter was wrote. And he said, some have already started this trend of failing to assemble together. And he says, you ought to assemble and you ought to do something when you assemble. I have no idea how much time I've got. Maybe I'm done over. Oh, all right. That'll give me time to get into us preachers here in our reading lesson. Preach the word, nothing else but the word. The social stories, the beautiful pictures are being painted by things that are not scripture today. They have no reason to come from a Baptist pulpit. Right. The word of God ought to be presented from the Baptist pulpit. So Paul instructed Timothy here to preach the word, to be instant in season. What does that mean to you and I today, to be instant in season? That means to preach when you feel good and the Lord is with you and people are listening to you and you preach. And we are to be instant in season. The next phrase is preach out of season. What does that mean to us? When we don't feel good, when they're not listening, when everything seems to be going contrary to the way it ought to go, when it doesn't seem to be to our advantage as a human being to pursue and to preach the word, we still are instructed by Paul to preach the word out of season. And then we find within that preaching of the word, there comes a reproving. Does our preaching reprove the situation? The next thing it says about the preaching of the word is to rebuke. Does our preaching include rebuking to where people recognize it? You know, some people got so wise with their psychology and stuff, they can rebuke without people knowing it. Well, what's the advantage in that? There's a brother with us today that got into a little sermonette here recently, and he got on some toes. And as he started, there was a lot of laughing and sniggering in that little church house. But by the time he got through, there wasn't but one person amen in. I was over there just scotching all I could. But it was a joke with him to start with, and there's too much preaching today. You know what the average preacher today is, and I'm not talking about you, brethren, necessarily. I hope I'm not, at least. Got to be a comedian in the pulpit. You got to be a comedian before the congregation if you reach them. We won't find that in the book. But preach the word in season, out of season. That'll include reproving, rebuking, exhorting. How? With all long-suffering and doctrine.
I don't know what the word long-suffering means yet as far as some enduring things of trying to preach, but that's the way that it is to be done. These things are to be preached, but they are to be in a fashion of long-suffering and teaching. And all of us probably could take a good lesson in long-suffering, and we need to be long-suffering toward those that we stand before, because it's a matter of life and death. If we work in some industry or something, a job that deals with life and death, how careful are we to follow a pattern? I used to handle high voltage for a living. And we were very, very particular that we went by the patterns laid out for safety reasons. We knew that death was there at our fingertips. And we were very particular to follow the patterns given unto us that we might preserve our life and the life of our fellow employees. I'm of the opinion if the space program had been as particular as it should have had, we would have had the disaster of last January's year ago. So in matters of life and death, the pattern is conformed to with detail, and we check it, we double check it, and we let other people check it and double check it. But with the plan of salvation, are we as careful that it is as it's laid out in the book? Would we be willing to risk the souls that we preach to as far as going to hell or heaven after we preach one time? We ought to be very particular that we follow the pattern. If we'll preach the word, God has promised some things concerning that being accompanied by the Holy Spirit and it having free course into the heart and souls of our hearers. So our preaching ought to be like that. The prophecy is there'll come a time when they won't endure sound doctrine. How many doctrinal preachers do you know that are popular today? They used to be our staunch examples. They were admired above every top preacher we had among us several years ago. Strong doctrinal preachers. And as the world gets weaker, we need to follow the pattern and present some things stronger than they are being presented today. Because people are going to lean, go toward their own lust. They're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to turn away their ear from the truth and be turned unto fables. But he told Timothy, that watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. That's the pattern. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Why? The old brother is leaving the scene. His fight's over. And he's going the way of all flesh. But as he left, he said, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me that the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. I'm looking forward to that pattern. The Lord will get the crowns cast at his feet. Could you imagine a Baptist walking around heaven with a crown on his head? No. They'll all be cast at the foot of our Lord. That's where they'll lay, because we know that he is worthy. I appreciate you listening. Follow the pattern. It's a beautiful experience with the Lord. Pattern of faith. My time, I'm through, aren't I? 2 minutes. You see, I moved to another location. They don't have a clock on the wall. And I don't have any concept of time. But the pattern is that Christ set his church up, blessed it, left it with a promise, I'm coming back after you. Do you know today that heaven is better than it was when Jesus left it? I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you think that's talking to the world? He spoke that in the privacy of the Lord's Supper. That's who he's talking to. And heaven's better today than it was then, for that place is still being prepared. The church is not finished yet.
He hasn't come to her completion, and he left this world to go back there and prepare a place for her. And it's got to be better now than it was then.
Because you read about her. You see her described in symbolic fashion in the book of Revelations. And the pattern is that when God says it's enough, the trumpet's going to sound, the Lord's coming back, and he's going to take her home with him. And they're going to be together forever. And we're going to tabernacle with God out in the advent of sin. That's the pattern. God has not left us here orphans, and we are here upon this earth awaiting the return of our Lord, and he's coming back for us. And how does it feel to you when somebody gets engaged, and the next thing you know, one of the two parties is breaking their agreement, not running around with everybody, dating and doing all this? That's physical. Well, you apply that to the Lord and his church. And if she don't stay with the pattern down here, she's not true to him while he's away from her. Amen. And that's why it's so important to know the pattern. It's more important to stay with it once you know it. I must be through by now.